It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Iowans are still cleaning up from Monday's terrible storm. On tomorrow's Talk of Iowa, DNR Forester Mark Vitosh will be here to answer your questions about tree damage. Today, we're going to tackle the damage to your home. Our home improvement expert Bill McAnally may not be able to tell you where you can find a bag of ice, but he can answer your questions about how to put the pieces back together in the wake of this terrible derecho. Hello, Bill.
Good morning, Charity.
Thank you for being here. You are in Fort Dodge, and you got pretty lucky at your house, right?
Oh, I'm really lucky. Yeah, I think I told you that I never lose power because I'm on the same line as the sewage treatment plant, and they never shut that one down. So I'm really lucky, and I really didn't have any damage here at all. So, yeah, I'm pretty blessed.
That's great. I also was very fortunate being on the outskirts of Iowa City, but so many people all over the state of Iowa, particularly in Cedar Rapids and Marion, that area, are really suffering. I've seen pictures from Madrid as well. Just devastation everywhere. So much damage to people's houses. And, of course, people are cleaning up. They're trying to block the leaks in case we get rain. How do you triage damage on your house, Bill? What do you need to do to take stock?
Well, you know what? It's so sad when this happens because it just knocks. I mean, with everything going on, it was bad enough. But when you add something like this on top of the pile, people can just get overwhelmed. And, you know, the first thing they have to do is just kind of, you know, take a breath, stand back and look at the situation. And the best thing to do is immediately start taking pictures of everything, everything that you have, all of the damage, you know, on the outside, you know, take stock of you know, how the yard looks and, you know, if there are downed power lines, you know, please stay away from them, you know, and we're kind of at that stage now where everybody's been out and they have started looking at everything, but, you know, you're just going to have to call your insurance company immediately, and then, whether they like it or not, send them your pictures so that there's a record that you have pictures of the damage that you have right now, because you may have to wait a few days before anybody, if you can't, you know, like you say, stop the water or throw a tarp over the roof or something like that, or put plywood over broken windows. If you're unable to do that and you can't get anybody, you know, you want to be able to show that on this day, you know, this is where it stands. And if there's additional damage, you know, you can't help that.
Right.
So they need to know exactly. And, you know, I've heard, well, they don't want to have that information. You know, in today's world, a few pictures isn't going to, you know, have a thing. Now, I'd probably be sending them a couple hundred pictures of everything that I own from inside the attic, you know, damage, you know, the actual, how much rain did I get here where my house is at? And how strong were the winds where my house is at? And,
so
you know, when we look
at an information trail,
you really need to do that, because that may be the key to, you know, how much coverage you actually have. You know, everybody's coverage is a little bit different, but yeah, that this key to the documenting everything is so important. You know, you do want to get everything covered up, and you want to do it safely. And people have a tendency, well, you know, all I need to do is go over there and flip this switch. Don't touch anything electrical or, you know, anything having to do with gas. What's scary is, like, when I saw the pictures on, you know, on the news that all these trees uprooted, you know, you think about how many trees have uprooted and disturbed gas lines. And you may not be hearing a big whoosh of a noise coming in your ground, but it may be enough that if someone is around and they have a spark, you know, there's so many issues with high wind and trees moving and, you know, broken items on your home. You know, there may be something on your home that it just kind of dangling. You don't see it. Maybe the tree is holding something up. A little bit of wind, and you can have a whole roof section, you know, fall on you. So you really need to stand back and just start documenting everything, like you say, to have that data bank of information.
Well, and there are, of course, there are different levels of damage, and I've seen so many pictures in the last few days,
yes.
Bill. It's really heartbreaking. Yeah. But, you know, there are people who had planks of lumber just come through their walls or a tree branch come through a roof. But then there are also people who have lost their roofs. How do you know if the damage is so severe that you need to not be in that structure?
You know, if you can see things that just look crooked, the eye, using a person's eye is really better than even a level. A person can stand and look at something, and they can tell when something's a little bit crooked or leaning. If you have enough damage on your home that something is crooked, like a wall has moved or a post is different than what it was before, or God forbid that your roof is gone, you have no business, you know, being in there. Because with today's homes, a lot of them aren't just plain, you know, 2x4 and 2x8 rafters or something like that. A lot of the homes around Iowa are basically engineered. They're made with, you know, trusses with all these pieces put together and metal plates holding together and special fasteners. When they become compromised, all the weight of a certain section roof can be transferred to another area of the house that now has been compromised, and you could have failure at any time. So, you know, if you have sections of roof that are missing, you should have a professional go in there before you do, or get a hold of the insurance company and say, okay, how can I handle this? I mean, you've been paying premiums, you know, quarter after quarter after quarter. So don't feel bad about calling them 20, 30 times. You know, if you have a question, call your insurance agent and make sure that, let's say somebody comes by, hey, let me take a look at this. Well, if they're not licensed or they're not insured, they go in and get hurt. Now you're liable. So you want to get with the insurance company, get the steps from them. You know, hey, my house is a little bit crooked in this area, or there's this damage. What can I do? And then they'll say, you stay out. Because in today's litigious society, you know, you're going to open yourself up, especially to sketchy people coming in from out of state.
Well, let's talk about people, not just coming in from out of state, but of course, there are a lot of people very willing to help right now, and there are a lot of people who see an opportunity in this, and there's nothing wrong with getting paid to do the work that you do. So I don't want to make it sound like that, but you need to find the right company to do that work. There are going to be a lot of offers out there. You may feel really lucky when somebody says, hey, I'll do that work for you, and you don't have to wait in a really long line with a company that you know of and may be reputable in your community. So how do you hire the right people to do the work?
You know, that's the first one. That's like one of the first things. If somebody comes up, it's an unsolicited person comes, you know, I can take care of this. We can do it fast. You're going to get a little twitch in your gut saying, you know, this may be too good, and send them away. And if not, just approach the person and say, I might give you a chance. First of all, you know, I want to know what is your registration number from the Iowa Division of Labor. Iowa's a little bit different because building contractors, like people working on roofs or structural, they don't have to have a license, but they have to be registered with the Iowa Division of Labor. And so this way, if they're not registered with the state, then to send them away. It only costs you $50 a year to get that general contractor's license. Now, electricians, heating, plumbing people that come in, they have to be licensed, but not general contractors. And so if you're talking with somebody and they're giving you a bid on a price, if it sounds really good, there's reasons. You know, you need to have references. And then what's always scary is when they'll either ask for cash. You never do that. Or say more than 20% down, and, you know, to start the project. Now, if they want money to start the project, ask, what's it for? You know, that's not out of line. It's your money. And they'll say, well, for materials. Okay, where are you getting the materials? And I want a lien waiver from that company, you know, before I give you the check, because I'm not going to get hung up for something if you leave town. And a reputable contractor should not be offended by that. Now, somebody that's not reputable will probably get upset and try to say, well, you know, with me, which is common, you would say, you know, they could say, I'll tell you what, I'll give you two invoices, one for the project, that you give to the insurance company and one for you. The one to you is going to be, let's say, $2,000 less to cover your deductible. That's insurance fraud. And that's very common in Iowa. And people go, oh, man, I could save, you know, a couple thousand dollars. So, you know, ask for business cards, proof of insurance. You have to have references, reputable references from around this area. And, you know, and if it's somebody comes up in a truck with no markings on it, out-of-state plates, they have no business card, and they can start today, you know, that is a big, that's a big flag right there.
All right. So look for the red flags. If it feels too good to be true, it probably is.
It is, and that's what's sad right now. But there's a lot of good people that want to help. But here again, you know, I've heard of people saying, well, hey, my neighbor said he'd climb up on the roof and take a look and see how, you know, take some pictures for me. First of all, they have no business getting on the roof. How nice a person they are. If they slip off the roof, now you're liable. And that's just the way
things are. Well, and you don't want them to get hurt either.
No, you don't. You know, you don't want them to get hurt. Now, for me, if it was a friend of mine, I saw him tumble off, I'd laugh. You know, hey, that was a great fall, you know, give him the scorecard and a whole bit.
But we're not all like you, Bill.
Not want to. No, they're not. No, no. Yeah, no, it's fun to watch somebody get hurt sometimes. But only your friends, though. So, you know, you have to really be careful with the way things are today. And, you know, when especially with somebody that is good, you know, has a really good heart and they want to help you, you know, it's so polite to say, I wish you could help me to do this. But I, you know, my insurance company says I can't allow anybody on the roof except someone that is registered with the state and so on. And, you know, the thing is, if someone comes up to you and does give you a bid, you could say, well, if I'm not happy, I'm going to call the state attorney general's office. And then you can tell them what the phone number is. Or, which is even better, is even if you are registered with the state, if I'm not happy, I'm going to get a hold of them and file a complaint, which they may lose their state registration and can't do business.
All right.
So you have some power. Just remember that.
And be careful. And Bill, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, is here, and he is here to answer your questions. So if you have cell service, you can call us 866-780-9100. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, is here with us today. We are talking about what you can do if your home was damaged in that terrible storm on Monday. If you have questions for Bill, give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Bill, we were just talking about safety and protecting ourselves from getting taken advantage of before the break. And I do have an email from Leanne who wants to share an unfortunate situation with the storm recovery in Norway, Iowa. She says the power was out. A neighbor in one unit of a fully occupied 8-unit apartment complex lit some candles in order to see. The entire building was destroyed by the fire that resulted when the candles were left unattended. So that's another danger that we have in this moment where people are entering their fourth day without power. So we need to be extremely careful and not get complacent in this new reality.
You know, and what's sad about that case that you just said, I was reading some insurance information and kind of requirements. And sadly, in this one I was reading about, that was brought up. It said specifically, only use flashlights, do not light candles. Well, that was buried in about the 20th page of this article. And, you know, first thing I did, too, was, and a lot of Iowans do, is you're thinking the power's going to go out. You say, okay, where's all of our candles? Because, right. You know, that's what Iowans do. We're so used to power going out because of our locations in the country. And you know, we're ready for that. And those are so sad that happens. And even, you know, people said, well, you know, I have a generator and I'll bring it over. There's more to, you know, hooking up a generator a lot of times to equipment than just plugging it in. You know, a lot of equipment isn't compatible with a generator. And anytime you're messing with, you know, electricity, unless you're trained, you don't know where it comes all the time and what circuit it's on. Those things are really sad. And because Iowans like to take care of themselves, and sometimes we're not really prepared enough to be able to do that.
866-780-9100 is the number to call with your questions. Email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org or tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. And Bill, on the subject of electricity, I'm married to an electrician, but I've learned a lot about electricity this week and about what the homeowner is responsible for on the home. And the homeowner is responsible for quite a lot. That conduit that brings the wires into your home, that's the responsibility of the homeowner. So if that has been hit, you have to call an electrician to fix that.
That's right. That's right. You know, I saw that picture that you sent out, and it is. I mean, everybody thinks that, okay, the power, I own it from, like, say, the fuse box in the basement. But no, I mean, once it gets past that, you know, that glass meter, it's yours. And especially when a tree falls and maybe hits the wire and pulls that masthead or pulls it slightly away from the house, you're right. I mean, you have to call an electrician to have that taken care of, and that is not something that you need to be climbing up and putting a ladder by, because if you've ever noticed, an electrician sometimes will call the power company, and they put these special guards over all of the wires that come into your house to protect the wire. So so while they're working, or if someone is working, like, say, putting on new roof, they will put those covers on the wires to protect the wires and the people that are working there from getting shocked. I mean, that's another thing that you want to ask a person that's going to put a new roof on for you. Are you going to call the power company and make sure that their lines coming in are protected and that you don't get possibly shocked by hitting those wires, some of the old ones are still in Iowa, with an aluminum ladder and, you know, causing a possible electrocution.
And the last thing you need is a terrible injury on top of everything else that has happened this week.
It is.
We've got phone lines open for you with your question, 866-780-9100. I think at this level or at this point in recovery, Bill, it's easy for people to feel a little desperate. And I think that's a concerning thing. If you're going on 4 days without power, it could be easy to think, you know what, I'm just going to take care of this myself. So
yes.
I do want to get to the phones. Doty is on the line in Marion. Hello, Doty.
Hi.
Hi there. And you're in Marion, which is a community that has been so badly hit. Tell us what you're seeing.
Well, I was just discussing this with an Alliant Energy person on the phone. We still have a pole crossing the road with wires dangling, and there's no barricade or anything that indicates this is not safe and somebody shouldn't proceed under it. There are trees all over the place, and some or most that aren't even cut up or put on the side of the road as they're indicating we should do. I've heard from other people talking to, like, city management and so forth, even around other areas, they don't know where they're going to put all the wood or if they can even pick it up in a timely manner, let alone, obviously, the electricity. It's just a real desperate situation, and I'm fearful that, you know, it's not recognized as such. We don't know that, though, because we have no electricity. We have you guys on the radio. That's about it. No data. I just got more reliable phone service today. I had to go to a 15-minute drive to my mom's house on Monday to see if she was okay, which took 45 minutes to get to her, and she was barricaded in with the trees that had fallen down from in front of her yard, and now her ceiling is falling down from a limb that landed on her roof. It's just a really scary situation, and I think that it doesn't seem like it's as pronounced that the rest of the world or rest of Iowa that is not impacted may not realize this. People need help here. Things could result in loss of life if it continues on, and not only that, but with the COVID. We have one place to get gas. I don't even know for how many miles that is. I've heard it's one of the only places, unless you travel north or south for, you know, a good half hour or more. And then you don't have enough gas to do that if you don't find a place. But my point is, I think this needs to be put out there more. We're just disconnected. We have no way to communicate It's really disheartening. We don't know what's going to happen unless we call places, which we've just got the ability to do mostly today, like I said.
Oh, Doty, I'm so sorry for all that you're going through. And the word is getting out, but I can understand your frustration. Please take care.
Thank you.
866-780-9100 is the number to call with your questions. 866-780-9100. Tweet us at Iowa Public Radio or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Charlene is on the line in Marshalltown. Hello, Charlene.
Good morning.
Hi, what's your question?
My question is on the water systems. While Marshalltown has been hard hit and we're slowly getting power back up, my concern, I don't hear anything about the water. I have water, but my concern is if I continue to use the water, do I risk sewer backups? Because that's got to go somewhere. Is there a power system involved with that?
Well, Bill, that's not your specialty, but what is your thought about that?
Well, you know, normally, the water, it all runs, you know, downhill or through pumps to get to a water treatment plant like I'm close to. And those, you know, they have backup generators. They, you know, unless they've been impacted by a huge flood, like sometimes you get along the major rivers, they'll keep running. So I would not worry about the drains, the sewage system. And if there is something that is wrong with that, normally what the city will do will come out and blanket the area and tell you, you know, in person, that you cannot use them, but it's very, very, very rare. So I would not worry about the water. Now, if you're in the country, you know, that's another thing. If you've got a well, you can't run the well because you've got an electrical pump that runs to it. You might be out of luck there. The other thing is for the people that are having, such problem that they can't really or shouldn't be in their house. There again, you know, if you do have phone service now, get a hold of the insurance company and see, okay, will you, since I've sent you pictures how bad it is, will you cover temporary housing so I can take, like, say, if the person take her mother to a motel and stay there where it's healthy? Because the other thing that comes to it, you know, you're using water to bathe, and now a lot of people, you know, don't have that opportunity because in the country, because of a well, they might not, you know, all of a sudden things, you know, are getting damp in the house. There's no air conditioning, you know, so all of a sudden there's mold growth, things like that. So in some cases, they've had a lot of water damage. They want to, you know, get out of the structure as well. But I would not worry about it, especially if it's the city that's, you know, giving you your water.
Charlene, one thing you can cross on your list off your list of things to worry about. Thank you so much for your call. 866-780-9100 is the number. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is a message from Kristen in Cedar Rapids. We had some damage to our roof and water started to leak in. We're worried about being able to get building materials to fix it. When we can get a contractor out to re-roof, there seems to be a shortage of building material right now because of the pandemic. Is this something we need to be worried about? Is there anything we can do to minimize the time waiting for materials? We worried it could be months before someone can come to fix it. Now, Bill, has there been a shortage of building materials already because of the pandemic?
I haven't seen any. I've been purchasing some materials here lately. I haven't had a problem at all. The only thing that I've noticed is it takes some friends that do steel roofing is it's taking just a few days longer because of manufacturing issues. But, you know, something that would normally take 3 to 4 weeks might be taking 4 to 5 weeks to get. But I haven't really noticed a shortage. Maybe some of the listeners have, but I haven't.
Yeah, well, and of course, we know that there will be a terrible shortage of building materials in the parts of Iowa that were hit hardest. We have already seen so much aid coming in from other states. The utility trucks and caravans on the highway yesterday, I saw several videos and photos of those trucks entering some of the hard-hit communities. And it's really wonderful to see linemen and women coming from Colorado and other places to help get Iowa back up and running. I would assume that building materials will also start getting sent this direction.
I think they will as well. And what was really heartwarming was to see, you know, that one power company, you know, they're volunteers. And the person says, oh, I plan on being, you know, here for the week. And this is not just some simple job. You know, in a lot of cases, they might be in life-threatening situations. And for the volunteer to come here for a week and help the state, you know, that really, that's the kind of news that we like to hear. That's the kind of reporting we should always have on is those type of people. But, yeah, I'm sure we'll be getting a lot of materials brought in. And in many cases, you may have to travel a ways to get materials. Now, the nice thing is if you need a lot of materials, you know, a lot of people have, you know, large trailers, you know, especially farmers in Iowa. And, you know, they have to transport implements. And so in many cases, you know, you may be able to get a friend, hey, we might have to drive, you know, 100 miles to get materials. And that may be the case. The local lumberyards may be becoming very slim very fast.
866-780-9100 is the number to call. Todd is on the line next in Clinton County. Hi, Todd.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm in the camp with everyone else that doesn't have power yet, and I was wondering what the, as just the everyday homeowner, I know that the governor's declared the county a disaster area, so I was kind of wondering what was available for financial assistance. I mean, just taking me, for example, I've got a couple big maple trees that are going to have to come down. That's probably going to be about $3,000 in that, you know, my $1,000 deductible on my repairs on my home. You know, I have to refill the fridge and other things. I mean, is there, like, can we pull against our 401k or anything like that now without penalty? Or what's out there for people who aren't in the poverty level but still could use a little bit of financial help?
Well, Todd, those are extremely important questions. Unfortunately, I don't think Bill or I have the answers to those questions. We will continue covering this situation in coming weeks and try to come up with information that's helpful to people who've been hit. Bill, I'm just guessing that's outside your area of expertise.
The only thing that I know is just because of COVID and this situation that the governor has mandated that if contractors' licenses are expiring, that they will be that expiration date is being extended. So contractors don't have to worry about, okay, I've got to get a hold of them, do this paperwork and stuff. It's been extended, and I don't know how long, but quite a way so that you can rest assured that if somebody is licensed currently, that they will be licensed in the time to come yet. So that was a nice step.
Yeah, Todd, I'm sorry.
Thing, you know, the other stuff, no.
Yeah, I'm sorry we don't have answers to those questions. You can give us a call with your questions, home improvement questions, home care questions are more along Bill's expertise. This is just an email from Katie. She says, to avoid the dangerous use of candles, it may be obvious, but remind people that solar garden lights can be brought inside at night for lighting. They work great. She also says, a shout out to Linn County REC for the power restoration. As a private well owner, I had no water without electricity, but now I can flush. And that it is fun to see people's ingenuity. I've seen a number of people taking those solar lights inside. And of course, think about your camping materials. Basically, everybody in Iowa is camping right now. They're just camping in their houses.
Right. And, you know, and if, you know, you don't have the water for toilets, you know, just think about how you would be able to use your own, I guess, type of a system you can come up with that doesn't require, you know, a toilet, more of a camping, you know, situation. You might have to revert back to that. And also remember that, you know, if you have access to rainwater or creek water or something like that, and you want to use a toilet, you can pour that into the toilet to flush it. So, you know, that you don't have to have the well running to be able to use the, you know, you don't drink it, of course, the water wherever you get it.
No, do not.
You can use that to flush. You can flush that, you know, at least you can flush toilets with it. So,
and I will say that
a lot of people, that's a really big deal.
Right. You know? Four days into this, we are starting to see some aid delivered. I know that Hy-Vee is going to be providing water and food distribution in the Cedar Rapids area today. And it's taken a while. It's difficult to travel through these areas, but some of the resources that people need are starting to get to them. And hopefully attention is really starting to be paid even beyond the borders of Iowa as well. We are going to take a short break right now. We'll be back in just a moment to answer more of your questions about damage to your homes. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. Tomorrow on Talk of Iowa, we're going to talk about tree damage on Horticulture Day with DNR Forester Mark Vitosh, and storm coverage coming up today on River to River at noon with Ben Kiefer as well. We'll talk about this meteorological event. A lot of us have experienced straight wind storms before, but very few of us have experienced a storm of this scale. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, is here with us today. And of course, so many homes and businesses and buildings experienced storm damage on Monday when that terrible derecho blew across the state of Iowa. Bill is here to answer your questions about the damage to your home. You can give us a call at 866-780-9100. You could tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Rocky's on the line in Cedar Rapids. Hi, Rocky.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm okay.
I'm going to ask my question, and then my cell phone reception's been spotty or whatever. So basically, I have like some soft damage, and I don't think that it's enough to. So if I call my insurance company, and they're like, this isn't enough. I mean, say it's $1,000 worth of damage or whatever, and the deductible is like $1,000. Am I going to have to pay that deductible? If you think you don't have enough to call your insurance company? I mean, like, you know, where is the area of where you're like, just pay for it yourself instead of paying the deductible? Also, I'd like to say that it's nice to hear someone talking about this on the radio finally, because they've been out there 4 days, and like the lady previously said, we only have radio, and for people to think that, oh, we're all just streaming stuff in, they're out of their mind a lot with that, because you don't have any power, so you're using transistor radios and stuff. I can't believe there's no emergency radio communication throughout the area talking about and saying what's going on and what's going to be happening and doing an update at least for 2 hours a day or something. So that's my comment. I'll take everything else offline.
All right, Rocky, good luck. Thank you for your call. And Bill, that's a situation a lot of people find themselves in. They think, okay, should I call my insurance company or should I not call my insurance company? This doesn't look that bad. How do you assess that?
Well, you know, I would call them anyway, because what can happen down the road is if we have something that might be slightly worse, that you kind of have, it's a terrible phrase, but kind of a pre-existing condition of damage already, which then will cause the next bid to be a lot less, because they will come and say, well, you've already, you know, it's already damaged and you didn't claim it. So now you're not going to get as much because the shingles aren't as good or the roof or the damage. So you want to take pictures and, you know, from the ground, you know, zoom in, take some pictures and talk to your agent. I mean, that's what their job is to help you. It's not to, you know, you think that I give them money all the time. They're going to give me money back. They're also supposed to be there to console, involve you in the situation and to advise. And so in many cases that I found, you know, when the insurance company comes up and really inspects, or a third party that's licensed, you know, really inspects it, they find a lot more damage than what you think there is. And there's a lot of hidden damage, especially when we had those winds. That's the big difference, is we can't see a lot of the damage that was done to our homes because of the wind. Or, you know, because the wind drives that rain, and it drives it, you know, especially with types of siding that we have, it drives it behind the siding. The sun comes out, and all of the materials behind the siding is saturated with moisture, and it drives it in. And in some cases, it can cause structural failures that you can't see because it's behind the siding, or it's underneath the shingles because of the wind. You know, when you get let's say, you know, what was it, Midway had 112 miles an hour. I can't imagine how far into the house that moisture is driven and driven up into your attics through your ventilation. So there's a lot of things that, you know, it may not look that bad because you're just looking at the skin of it. You're looking at the top coat, the stuff that's going on underneath when we have this type of a storm, which is, you know, thank God it's a rarity, but it can cause so much hidden damage. And that's when you need someone that can actually say, you know what, maybe we better look in the attic. And you're going, well, there's only that one little hole. No, you know, it could have driven moisture, rain up into your attic with 60, 70 mile an hour wind. Your insulation may be soaked.
Oh, man.
You know, I mean, there's so much damage that a trained inspector has to look for. And I have gotten into an argument with an adjuster before about the moisture issue. And I said, you know what? I'll tell you what, I'm going to pull the siding off, put a moisture sensor on that wall, and to make an opinion on how much mold damage you might have. And all of a sudden, hey, it was like, what do you want done? You know, so, and that was hidden, a hidden issue that needed to be taken care of. So I would get a hold of insurance company, like I say, take pictures and see what's going on.
All right. You bring up so many scary points, Bill, always bringing joy.
That's kind of, you know, and I feel bad. It seems like after every show we're going, geez, we talk about scary stuff. But, you know, we want to protect everybody. Yeah. We want to keep them safe. We want them to have them in a healthy environment. So we have to bite the bullet and look at these things.
All right, Rob is on the line next in Des Moines, 866-780-9100. Hi, Rob.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, and you're a contractor.
I'm a contractor. Yeah. And I've got 2 points. One is be patient with, when you call a contractor, be patient with us because we're buried. You know, in addition to taking care of our own properties, our phones are ringing off the hook. And everybody, you know, their main concern is, I need to get this estimate so I can get it to my insurance company.
Yeah.
And that's true.
Yep.
But it's not like it has to be done right now. You have some time that you can work with there. And then second would be, try to work with someone that you've worked with before. Instead of, you know, putting out there on Facebook or whatever, need references, because, you know, if you've worked with someone before, you kind of know what you're getting.
All right. Great points, Rob. Yeah. What are you seeing in the Des Moines area? We've talked a lot about Cedar Rapids and Marion. I've seen just devastating pictures from so many parts of central Iowa.
You know, a lot of wind damage. In fact, I'm standing at a duplex now on Des Moines south side, and a lot of like gutter and storm soffit and fascia damage. And this one, like you were talking about, unknown damages. Yeah, I just pulled in the driveway here, and evidently this house has had damage from the parking lot next door, because it looks like someone's been throwing rocks at the side of it. So they're going to have issues. You know, it's vinyl siding that's just been pelted
pummeled
with rocks.
Yeah.
Yeah, pummeled.
Wow. Well, yep. Rob, yeah, thanks. Thanks so much for your call, and best of luck to you. Bill?
Yeah, I was going to say, Rob, that's, you know, when you hire somebody you know or work with or local, it just gives you kind of a sense of comfort, because it's something known. You have someone to go back to. You know, and most people, I think, will wait. Hopefully they will wait for somebody that they know and they can trust. They don't have to sit back and be worried at night about another, you know, issue. As long as it's very, very, the best thing you do is to wait for somebody that will come and do the work for you and you can trust.
Well,
it's well worth that wait.
Yeah, and, you know, I know so many people are just feeling extreme stress, and they're feeling frazzled, and it's easy to get angry. And I think Rob's point is a good one, that remember that the contractor is not the one that put you in this situation, but I know it's hard. It's so hard for so many people right now. We have time for a few more calls before the end of the hour. 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Bill, I'm curious. I've seen a little bit of a debate going on online in thinking about the terrible widespread floods of 2008. And of course, Cedar Rapids has just gotten pummeled again. And some people are thinking, well, this is worse than the floods because the damage is so widespread. Of course, flood damage carries with it so many other problems as well. From your perspective, when you look at recovery, what do you think? Do you think that this will be on the magnitude of the 2008 floods?
I do, mostly because, you know, the floods are so much more concentrated in an area. Usually, you know, it's obviously around, you know, the areas that are flooded. And it seems like Iowans are really prepared more for flood. If you're in a flood area, you know what kind of the steps are, because you've been reminded of it about every few years. You know, this is what we have to do again because we had another flood. Now, a situation like we had, you know, for this terrible, you know, widespread storm, we weren't prepared for this. You know, obviously it's a situation where things are going on that you don't see, and it's mostly because of that, of the wind. You know, when it's not a tornado, but yet it picks a 2x4 and you know, takes it, you know, 200 yards and drives it through your house, it doesn't need to be called a tornado or a hurricane force winds. You have this kind of damage, and there again, even like the previous caller, the last caller mentioned, it's this hidden, these hidden things. In flooding, you know, the house is flooded, and it's all, you know, where it's going to be wet. But on when it's wind driven, it, you know, houses are very permeable when it comes to a strong wind and moisture. And you know, moisture is actually what can kill a house, and I hate to keep harping on it all the time, but once that moisture's in there, it absolutely does no good whatsoever, and it can ruin so many materials. You know, if your windows are a few years old, they're not like they used to be. The water can sit in, you know, around the windows that you don't open a lot, and it can start, you know, rotting. And when we aren't ready, and a lot of our homes aren't built for this type of wind. Very few homes are. You know, if you're some parts of the United States, you know, you have to prepare, you have to build according to like earthquake standards or what brought a hurricane. Yeah, you know, it's just kind of the Miami-Dade standard for hurricanes. And in a lot of places in Iowa, a lot of builders will say, I will build to the Miami-Dade specifications to build for these high winds, and those type of builders should be applauded.
Yeah. Let's get back to the phones.
Those homes are kind of ready for this.
Thank goodness. Let's get back to the phones. Shannon is on the line in Des Moines. Hi, Shannon.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what's your question?
I was just wondering, I have an insurance company. They're coming out for, can you hear me?
Yeah, go on. Okay. I think if you turn off your radio, you'll have better luck. I think that might be the problem.
That's it, exactly.
Okay.
So I have my insurance company coming out to assess damage. I was wondering if I should have a separate contractor come out prior to or even after, if need be, to get a second opinion. I don't know. I don't know how it works when making a claim.
Bill?
Well, in many cases, you know, getting your insurance company will be enough. But for peace of mind, it doesn't hurt at all, because I don't know how well trained, and you don't know how well trained, especially in these times, an inspector can be. I for this show, I went and checked. I'll tell you what, I can become an inspector in about 20 minutes after seeing, okay, we have a shortage of roofing inspectors, and we'll give you a job. It's okay, well, what's this person know about roofing inspections? So I would do that for peace of mind, and because some insurance companies are super at having very talented, well-trained inspectors, but sometimes somebody can slip through the cracks there and not be experienced and miss something. And you're not the person we want to see get missed on. And so having, you know, another set of eyes look at something, and then take, you know, have the contractor document it, and don't promise the contractor they're getting the work. That's one thing. But, you know, you can pay them to do an inspection. Their time is worth something. But to have that extra set of eyes means a lot. You just don't want to miss anything. This is not the time to have something missed. And I would ask the experience of the the person doing the inspection, say, how good are you at inspecting these roofs? How much experience do you have? That's a good question to ask. It's your money and it's your home, so don't be shy.
Does that help you out, Shannon?
Okay, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you. 866-780-9100. John is on the line in Des Moines. Hi, John.
Hello, Charity.
Hi.
Hey, I'm a contractor. I've been doing this for quite some time. I'm old enough, I have lots of gray hair. So my advice to every homeowner that I give to all of my customers is, first of all, never, ever, 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 never, ever, et cetera, pay a contractor up front. If he's not sufficiently successful that he can afford to finance the first week, first 2 weeks of a job, then you don't want to be his next victim. He doesn't know what he's doing. I think we move on to the second point, which is ask for a certificate of insurance. It's easy to say that you have insurance. It's easy to get a certificate of insurance if you're insured. But if you're not, you can't get the certificate. It's a simple thing for the insurance agent to produce. They do it every single day. It's not a big deal. Get a certificate of insurance. And thirdly, I highly recommend references. If a contractor can't find three people who love him who will say wonderful things about them, then you don't want to be that guy's next screw-up. Just be patient. And follow those three rules, and you'll get through this fine.
All right, John, thank you.
Make sure they're not relatives. Yeah, make sure they're not relatives.
Well, I think
a lot of people don't have three relatives that love them anyway. So, I mean, that's the other side of that. But those are great points. Those are great points. Thank you.
Yeah, John, thank you, and best of luck to you as you get through this. We are nearly out of time. That is great advice from John. We are going to see contractors saying, hey, give me cash and I'll do the job. Just don't enter into one of those partnerships. That's one of those red flags. So, Bill, just to reiterate, we were talking about red flags earlier, and if you feel uncomfortable about an offer that you're given, do not take it, is your advice.
No, step away. If you get a little, even the slightest twinge in your belly, don't take it.
All right. Well, Bill, we'll have to have you back again soon. Unfortunately, I think we're going to be cleaning up from this storm for a long time. Right. And some of this damage is going to become apparent later on as well. I really appreciate your time, Bill. And take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally. Tomorrow on Talk of Iowa, we're going to talk about tree damage. And of course, there's just so much of it. DNR Forester Mark Vitosh is going to join us for Horticulture Day tomorrow, and he'll answer some of your tree questions tomorrow. Coming up on River to River today at noon, more storm coverage. We're going to talk about the meteorological event that caused Monday's storm and try to understand what happened. And of course, cover all kinds of other aspects of the storm as well. And we will continue covering this storm and recovery on Iowa Public Radio in the weeks to come. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe.